Welcome to A Voice of a People, live here with Linda Sims on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app on any electronic device and search WWGH. And you can take advantage of the many talk show programs we have to offer you. You can also call in during any time that we are on the air live from 11:15 until the top of the hour, 12 noon today, by calling 740-383-9944. We're talking about politics today. I have my favorite political analyst and expert here with me today, Tim Cones. Thank you for looking past my stumbling over my mouth today. Today is Monday, okay? So, and we will be talking about the present election, well, the past election that took place last Saturday, plus local elections last Tuesday, and our local elections here. So, I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to Tim and say hello, Tim. How are you doing today?
Good to be here.
It's good to have you here, and I know there's a lot up in the air as we go forward each and every day, huh?
Yes.
Are you surprised by that election?
Some ways, yes. Some ways, no. Obviously, again, we have President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. There are still some states that they have not yet called. Depending on what you're looking at, there are some sites, particularly the Associated Press and actually Fox News, had already called Arizona back on Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning.
Okay.
So they've got 290 electoral votes for the Biden-Harris ticket, 214 for the Trump-Pence ticket. Other news organizations have not yet called Arizona, but I would think maybe in the next couple of days that's going to happen.
Okay.
And Georgia, probably this week also for Joe Biden.
Okay.
We won't really know anything about North Carolina until probably Thursday, because they are holding everything until Thursday when they will have their last votes or whatever being brought in.
Okay.
But of course, on around noon on Saturday, when first Pennsylvania, then Nevada were called for Joe Biden, but he met 279 electoral votes.
Right.
And that's what CNN and the networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, are showing that. Fox News and Associated Press. And usually the Associated Press is very, very careful. When they call something, you can just about guarantee that's how it's going to be. And they had already called Arizona, so they're showing 290 for them. And Alaska has not yet been called, but likely Trump is going to carry Alaska.
Right. So they're trying to make sure every vote is counted.
Yeah, every vote is being counted. And frankly, some of the stuff that you're hearing about
votes and illegal votes.
There's absolutely no evidence. That's baseless charges. Mm-hmm. They filed a number of lawsuits. I think they've had like 10 of them thrown out of court already, and a few more. And all that's going to go over the wayside.
Right.
So he is the president-elect, vice president-elect. In fact, this morning, the president-elect did name a COVID advisory committee. He wants to be ready to hit the ground running at noon on 20th January when he takes office.
Right.
And of course, Kamala Harris going to make history. Not only is the first Black, but Asian and woman.
And absolutely.
First woman nominated for vice president, of course, was Geraldine Ferraro all the way back in 1984.
And I remember that, yes.
They lost. Then, of course, Sarah Palin and John McCain 12 years ago.
And they lost.
And, of course, Hillary Clinton was a presidential candidate 4 years ago.
Right.
And now
somebody made it, right? Yeah, yeah, she made
it. And currently she's a U.S. Senator from California.
Okay.
Sometime early in January, I'm sure, she'll resign her Senate seat. Then Governor Gavin Newsom, who's the Democratic governor of California,
right,
under the Constitution, will name someone to act the last 2 years of her term. Her term had been up in 2022 anyhow, so whoever that person is. And as I told the people, I said, I'm going to guess Democrats will be lined up all the way from Sacramento, their state capital, down to probably San Diego without appointment, because it's not covered an appointment to the U.S. Senate. So, and then that person presumably will have the edge. They have to run in 2 years for the full term. So.
Right.
Couple things here maybe to point out. For the first time in 60 years, Ohio did not vote for the winning presidential candidate. Last time that happened was in 1960 when Ohio voted for Richard Nixon, and of course John F. Kennedy was elected.
Right.
And John F. Kennedy would later choke prior to that 1960 election, which was actually 60 years ago yesterday, that he had been in a number of large states right before that election. He was in Columbus for a big rally at that time. And he would later joke months later after he was president, he said, "I've never been in a city where I had bigger crowds and more cheers and fewer votes than Columbus, Ohio." And I say the one that was the last time I was wrong until this last Tuesday.
Right.
Some reasons for that, actually listening to Columbus Week in the Review this past Friday night on WOSU, Dale Bulin, who is a Democratic strategist, said there are really three reasons why Ohio likely is maybe no longer really a swing state, maybe a reddish, purplish state at this point.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Ohio's population is older.
Right.
It's wider, and frankly, not as many college graduates in Ohio as these other states.
Okay.
And that has become a big divide. And I think you can see that divide not only between, in Delaware County. Now, Delaware County has been a Republican county,
mm-hmm.
still went for Trump, but the margin was much reduced.
Really?
And frankly, compared to Marion County, Delaware County has a much higher percentage, diversified population.
That's true.
A lot more college graduates down there.
True.
And I'm guessing, I haven't looked at it yet, but I'm going to guess that Joe Biden actually carried the city of Delaware, but then Trump got the margin outside of the rural part of Delaware County.
Right,
so.
Probably so.
I
know Marion didn't go for Biden.
No.
They went for Trump.
Again, Marion County, the population, again, very probably fitting with older, whiter population, certainly fewer college graduates than you would have in Delaware County.
Right.
Of course, there'll be a new sheriff, Matt Bales, ousted Tim Bailey.
I could not believe that.
First time in 56 years, Republicans won the sheriff's office, 52 years.
I could not believe that. So, what happened? I don't even know the guy. I don't think I've ever even seen him.
The only reason I knew who Matt Bales was, he was the pitcher on the 1984 Harding baseball team, which went to the state championship. I was teaching at that time.
Right.
And he was the pitcher on that team.
Okay.
So that will be a change, of course. All the other officials were reelected in Marion County. The MRDD levy, after about 4, 5, 6 years, trying finally passed by about 1,000 votes. I mean, this campaign was probably their low-key campaign. Maybe that's what they had to do, but it ended up passing relatively easily. So they finally got that issue.
And that's been on the ballot for how long now?
I think it was like the 15th attempt, and finally they got it.
Oh, my.
Record turnout, Marion County, the statewide, the nation. They were thinking is that maybe by the time all the votes are tallied up and so forth, it's going to be around 155 million people voted in the maybe the presidential election or whatever
throughout
the country. We'll know that in a few weeks yet. It was just an incredible turnout that happened. Going back to Ohio, and actually at this point, at least my preliminary numbers, Donald Trump carried 81 of Ohio's 88 counties. The 7 counties he did not carry, and again, beyond the educational divide, there is a rural versus suburban-urban divide.
Mm-hmm.
And the 7 counties that Joe Biden carried, Cleveland, Cuyahoga County, Columbus, Franklin County,
mm-hmm.
Cincinnati, Hamilton County, Dayton, Montgomery County, Toledo, Lucas County,
mm-hmm.
Summit County, Akron, and then the other one semi-rural kind of you want is Athens, because of Ohio University and the student population there.
Okay.
And other than that, the other 81 counties went for Donald Trump.
Out of
in
the
fact, election night initially, because they were reporting and Ohio did it a little differently than other states. Ohio was reporting the mail-in balloting, which went heavily for Joe Biden. And so initially, Joe Biden had quite a lead in Ohio.
Right.
But then as the election day came in, Trump overtook him and carried the state.
Right.
Pennsylvania was just the opposite. Pennsylvania, because they could not open their ballots, the mail-in ballots, until election day.
Right.
So the result was, the first result you had was the election day results,
mm-hmm.
which heavily went for Trump.
Right.
But then as the mail-in ballots were being tabulated, Joe Biden cut that away until by noon on Saturday.
Right.
He had surpassed, or actually had passed, and they called in Pennsylvania and then Nevada also for Joe Biden. That's when the celebration began with the Biden victory. So
okay, and he's from Pennsylvania, right?
He's originally from Scranton, PA. Yes.
Okay.
His
okay.
parents or his father's parents moved down to Wilmington, Delaware. I think sometime in the 1940s or 1950s for work, and that's where he actually had lived there. And,
okay.
And, so forth.
And start his political career.
Yeah, political career. First of all, the a county council down there, and then he was at the U.S. Senate. And of course, it was 40 years ago. He was elected to the United States Senate from Delaware, and of course, he was only actually 29 when he won. Mm. But his 30th birthday, because you have to be 30 to be in the Senate,
right,
came a little later on. So here in a couple weeks, he will be turning 78. And then, of course, tragically, in December of 72, his first wife and his then daughter and children were on their way to pick up a Christmas tree, and they were, there was a car truck accident. His wife and daughter were killed, and
right.
two sons were injured. He was not going to take a Senate seat, but at the time, various members said, hold on, whatever, and he actually was sworn in his first term in January of 73 in the hospital room where his two sons were recovering from that accident.
Right.
And then, of course, eventually, here about later years, he met Joe Biden, Dr. Joe Biden, soon to be First Lady, Joe Biden, and mm-hmm. and they married, and they had then a daughter by through the marriage. So, that's this was his third effort to become a nominee for president, whatever. The turning point for him came back at the end of February, when he had not done well in New Hampshire or the Iowa caucus, New Hampshire primary. But then Congressman Jim Clyburn, who's mm-hmm. the House Majority Whip in South Carolina,
right.
endorsed him right before the South Carolina Democratic primary. He won that, and then from that point, that ended just about then March, is when this COVID-19 thing began to hit.
Right.
And then he swept into the primaries in March, and from that point, he was, within a matter of weeks and months, was the presumptive right. Democratic nominee, and then had the nomination wrapped up. And
he supported him really big. He really brought attention to him and what type of man that he was, and how he had put his trust, mm-hmm. you know, in him as far as being able to fulfill the job. Yeah, yeah. That was big.
So,
big endorsement he had.
Yeah, and the other thing I should point out is, I say, you know, we have this urban-rural divide, and as I say, we had your local Republican officials winning everything. Now, Democrats did pick up a seat in the state Supreme Court.
We did.
Jennifer Bruner was elected to the state Supreme Court.
Okay.
Picked up one of two seats. And so what had been a 5-2 Republican majority is now down to 4-3. And they were hoping to get the other seat, but John O'Donnell was not able to defeat Sharon Kennedy, the other one. Jennifer Bruner, who was then former Secretary of State, ran for the Senate, had served a term the last 6 years on the Franklin County Court of Appeals,
right.
defeated the incumbent Judy French, a Republican.
Wow.
Now, technically, they run nonpartisan, but there are a lot of party labels, but the party's endorsed. And to give you an example, in terms of what's happening, Franklin County, one-time Republican county, but demographics have changed dramatically. And that county's now a very Democratic county.
Mm-hmm.
And last Tuesday, Ron O'Brien, who's the longtime Republican prosecutor, got upended by Gary Tyak,
right.
who was a former appeals court judge, very active in Democratic politics. And so now that office will be under Democratic control come January. And I'm sure state Republicans are a little concerned about that because, of course, Columbus has the state capitals in Franklin County. And therefore, the Franklin County prosecutor, through the Franklin County grand jury, keep an eye on things. And so the Republican state government is not going to have a light on them being shined by the Democratic County Prosecutor in Franklin County.
Okay.
And they're probably not a little nervous about what could happen there. So, and then also down there, just to give you an example of what's happened, Democrats swept 10 judgeships. All the 10 judgeships were on the Franklin County ballot in Columbus. Democrats swept all of them.
Oh,
the
really?
The result of that was 4 incumbent Republican judges
got
ousted. And then there's a state Senate race that right now in the Hilliard area, in northwest Franklin County. The incumbent state senator, Stephanie Quincy, is Republican. She's leading her Democratic challenger, Crystal Litt, by 30 or 40 votes out of over 205,000 cast.
Right.
Now, you have provisional ballots, other ballots to be counted, and so forth. Very similar thing happened on the other side of Franklin County.
Okay.
Years ago in a Senate district, which had been a Republican Senate district. And initially, the Republican candidate was leading, as it was a state representative, was leading in that race by a couple hundred votes. But when all the provisionals, which traditionally usually run very heavily Democratic.
Okay.
Came in, the Democrat ended up winning. I suspect Democrat Crystal Love will end up beating Stephanie Quincy. We won't know this by for another 2 weeks or so.
Wow.
Because they'll get the votes official certified. But I'm going to guess she'll probably end up winning by maybe 1,000 to 2,000 vote edge. Because I think probably Senator Quincy knows that.
Right.
I think she's going to prepare herself that she's going to lose the race.
Hmm.
And again, Franklin County has become a very Democratic county. And Mr. O'Brien said, he said, the reasons, he says, the Democrat, they call the Democratic slate card, the Franklin County Democratic Party puts out. People vote that, straight ticket. And he said, Mr. Trump is very unpopular in Franklin County.
Cause I think
Joe Biden carried the county by 250,000 votes. Or something like that. I mean, it was just, you know, in fact, here about a year and a half, 2 years ago, one of the judges down there, Julie Lynch, I think her name was a Republican. She switched parties. I think she saw the handwriting on the wall. And my guess is that maybe a few of the other Republican judges down there maybe decided who maybe have to come up in election the next couple of years, may just say, boy, maybe I should get out of the Republican Party into the Democratic Party, because if I don't, probably gonna lose my seat.
Yeah, so, that was a wise decision.
And
yeah.
So we'll see what happens on that.
Right.
So,
it's,
you know, as I say, you know, a long night. Then, of course, the days of counting as they were getting these votes counted until noon Saturday. Now, Mr. Trump's failure to concede, and of course, his concession is not required, but generally And apparently there is a struggle going on with the White House.
It's just a form of respect, right?
Yeah.
And integrity, integrity.
Apparently there's a struggle on now in the White House. Apparently the First Lady, Jared Kushner, son-in-law, said, it's over, you've lost.
Oh, they've told him that?
Well, that's what the rumors, reports
okay,
are.
Okay, okay.
Suppose the two sons say to fight on, whatever. This nonsense about
rule of Giuliani.
Yeah, nonsense about fraud. There's none of that. There's been notes and no evidence. They've had like 10 lawsuits that have already been thrown out. The courts aren't going to put up with that kind of stuff.
Oh, my.
And eventually, whatever they have is going to be tossed out.
Right.
So, hopefully, maybe within the next few days or week or so, you'll finally, you know, see it's over. And his term will end at noon on January 20th. Now, he can quietly walk out of the White House, or they can carry him out, or whatever. I wasn't going to do it, but he'll be gone. That's just the way it's going to happen.
So, however he want it, right? Oh, that would be so funny to see him dragged out.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Back during World War II, there was the president, I forget, of some place in Chicago. And they, I forget exactly what the issue was about. Something with, at the time, the government, whatever. And they had to carry the chairman of the board. Literally, the FBI had to carry him out of the office because he wouldn't move or whatever. So, they can do that too. So.
Yeah, they can.
But, I don't think it'll come to that.
I hope not. I don't think his wife would put up with that.
So, and I guess apparently she has, and others have. And there's around, because of course he's kind of hunkered down now. You haven't heard of him for several days.
No.
I mean, he had these ridiculous tweets, whatever, but, you know, you can only hide the White House for so long. I mean, he's president of the United States, but he's almost like he's going into isolation. And as I say, I think there's some that are. Then, of course, the other thing that's going to happen is, we're not sure who's going to control the Senate at this point, because you're going to have two runoff contests in Georgia.
Okay.
You have the one seat of Senator David Perdue, which is a regular election.
Okay.
Then you have the other seat, which is a election for an unexpired term. Former Senator Johnny Erickson resigned earlier this year. Kelly Loeffler was named by the governor, and she's in a runoff. Georgia has a law that requires that candidates have to get 50% plus one in a...
My sister was telling me that. She lives in
Georgia. And so the result is... Both the long-term and the short-term Senate seats are up, and it's going to determine who controls the Senate, and the political world is going to be descending on Georgia for the next 2 months till the January 5th runoff, which actually comes a day after the new Congress will convene on Monday, January 4th. Now, technically, the new Congress, the current Congress ends at noon January 3rd, but that falls on a Sunday. I'm making the assumption, and then the 20th Amendment allows the Congress to set a different date if that lights up that. So I'm assuming that the Congress will set a date of Monday, January 4th.
Right.
Take their oath of office. So actually, they may have to kind of put things on hold in the Senate on a reorganization until those two contests are decided. Let me just talk about what's going to happen next.
Yes.
I think it's December 7th, all 50 states and District of Columbia need to have their certified election results. Monday, December 14th, that's 5 weeks from today, is when the presidential electors in the 50 states and the District of Columbia will meet to officially cast the electoral votes. Right now, if based on what we've seen in terms of where the votes are at, it would be 306 for Biden-Harris ticket and 221 for the Trump-Pence ticket. That's if North Carolina, right now, Trump has a lead in North Carolina. If he maintains that lead. And then two states, Maine and Nebraska, split their votes. In other words, 48 of the states go on what is called a winner-take-all basis.
Okay.
One county gets more votes, they get all the electoral votes.
Right.
Maine and Nebraska split theirs based on the congressional districts. And how this works is this. Well, I'll give you Nebraska as an example.
Okay.
They have three congressional districts and then their two U.S. senators. So they've got five electoral votes. Those electors, the statewide vote, are called the electors at large.
Mm-hmm.
Determines how those two electors, and then each congressional district, how their congressional district goes.
Okay.
Right now, it appears that Joe Biden has carried the second district of Nebraska, which is the Omaha area.
Okay.
And this is what Barack Obama did 12 years ago. And so likely a 4-1 split. Up in Maine, they've got two congressional districts. Joe Biden carried the state of Maine. He'll get the two at large.
Mm-hmm.
He also has gotten what they call the first district, which is the southern part of Maine. And then the northern part of Maine, the second district, apparently has gone to Trump again. They did that 4 years ago.
Okay.
So Maine's vote will split 3-1.
They split it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other states are going to go.
Because I didn't understand that when I heard
that's,
it.
I mean, all states could do it if they wanted to, but that's the only two states that have that do it that way. So, and
give him a little bit and him the other.
Yeah, so, but that's where we're at right now. So it looks like it could be a 306-221 split.
So you're saying they all have to come and report their electoral
votes. What they'll do is they gather in their state capitals.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, D.C. direct electoration, probably gather in the mayor's office in D.C., but in the 50 state capitals on that day. And different states do it different ways. Some have a very elaborate procedure. Others do it very simply. They can gather, the Ohio electors will gather in the State House of Representatives chamber to cast electoral votes. Some may gather in the Secretary of State's office, the governor's office, whatever. The governor of the 50 states have to approve then the official electoral vote, and those are sent to D.C.
Right.
Then on Wednesday, January 6th at noon, the Congress will have a joint session, a formal joint session, where they formally count the electoral votes.
Right.
And it's a formality at this point. They count the votes for the president. They count the separate votes for vice president. And it's going to be the same.
Right.
They officially announce the official results. Then, of course, noon, January 20th, which is a Wednesday this year, is when the inauguration takes place, president and vice president.
Right.
Now, was it 8 years ago, after Barack Obama was directed to a second term, the 20th fell on a Sunday. So to fulfill the requirements of the Constitution, first Barack Obama and then Joe Biden, of course, at that time vice president, took the oath of office at a private ceremony. The Obama did his at the White House. Joe Biden did his, I think, someplace else, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then they repeated the oath the next day at the public ceremony on the 21st. They normally don't.
Because it was on a Monday?
Sunday, yeah.
Okay.
But they had to actually do the oath taking on the 20th, because that's what the Constitution says.
Okay.
So to fill that requirement.
All right.
So
what do you think really sunk President Trump?
Well, I as I said, I think when I was on him back a few weeks ago, I said I felt many ways the coronavirus was very similar to did him what the Iran hostage crisis did 40 years ago to Jimmy Carter. That people just felt he had mismanaged it.
And
he did not do well in that.
No.
You did not have the big third-party groups out there like 4 years ago. Third-party candidates kind of like about 6% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
I think this time it's going to be under 2%. And most of that third-party vote that went to those people vote for more or less voted for Joe Biden.
Right.
A lot of voters who didn't vote 4 years ago went for Biden. I think that was probably the issue. I mean, we were in a recession, and that is always a killer for an incumbent party. Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting. Democrats didn't do quite as well in Congress as they thought they were going to do. They're going to control the House, but probably by a reduced majority.
Okay.
And the Senate, the Senate could very well be. There are two contests that haven't been called yet, one in Alaska and one in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans lead in both those. If they should end up holding on to those seats, the Senate will have the that point be 50-48 Republican. But you've got the two Georgia contests. Should Democrats win both of those contests, then the Senate will be split 50-50.
Okay.
This is where the new Vice President, Kamala Harris, comes into play, because the Vice
Just
President
cast our vote, right?
is the President of the Senate under the Constitution,
right.
and cast tie-breaking vote.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to wait and see how that plays out. So the Senate right now is still undecided at this point. So.
Wow.
Nancy Pelosi has already announced she's going to run for election as House Speaker. She has the House Democratic Caucus behind her. She'll continue on as Speaker of the House for another 2 years.
Do you think that our electorates, I think that's what you call them, or electees, are getting too old? I mean, she's 80 herself, right?
Oh, public official. Well,
yeah.
this is...
It is what it is, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know...
yeah, it is.
So, age is, you know, what you're going to do. I mean,
they're seasoned, though, that's for sure.
I mean, Joe Biden is 78. He served 36 years in the Senate. He was vice president for 8 years.
He earned that spot.
And he decided to run after what happened in Charlottesville back in August of 2017.
Okay.
And you had the torchlight parade. It was almost like, frankly, it was something that we saw Nazi stormtroopers of the 1930s that marched through Wilhelm Strauss in Berlin. And that's what got him to go run.
He's been through a lot.
Yeah. I mean, his first wife, of course, daughter killed an accident. His son, Beau, died 5 years ago of brain cancer.
Right.
And, he's...
And the Trump supporters aren't happy. They're just not
happy. I mean, as he said, you know, people realize when you win an election, you lose whatever.
And nothing's changed,
the thing is,
right?
60 years ago, when the Kennedy election, of course, Kennedy only ended up getting like 100 and some thousand more than Richard Nixon did. And at the time, Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy had come to Congress at the same time in 1946. They were both Navy veterans from World War II.
Okay.
But in 46, John F. Kennedy was elected to the U.S. House from Massachusetts, Richard Nixon from California. And they served together in the House. Then Richard Nixon was elected to the Senate in 1950. 2 years later, John F. Kennedy was elected to the Senate from Massachusetts there. And they served together in the Senate for a couple of years until Richard Nixon became vice president.
Okay.
And then they ended up as presidential opponents each other in 1960. And, I somewhat remember this. I was in the eighth grade in 1960.
Okay.
I was a Republican those years. I was a Nixon supporter. I mean, you know, whatever. And Nixon and Kennedy actually met a few weeks later in, I think it was Palm Beach, Florida or something.
Okay.
And then more or less, I think Nixon told Kennedy he was not going to contest election, whatever. Unfortunately, we don't have an individual like that who puts the country above himself. I mean, Mr. Trump has been described as a narcissistic moron who really cares only about himself and very little about anything else. I'm not sure he cares about his own people because you have this situation down in Omaha, Nebraska, where people are left out in the cold and so forth. And then everywhere else was someplace that was in the heat or whatever. Mm-hmm. And people were just, you know, people were fainting, whatever. So,
Yeah, that's a bad thing to have, that people, you know, can say against you like that. You know, you really don't care about the people.
Yeah.
So why are you in the office? You know.
Yeah.
Because it's about the people, millions of people. You know.
And of course, 60 years ago, the so-called religious barrier was broken when John F. Kennedy became the first Catholic president in U.S. history. Joe Biden's going to be the second Catholic president. He was the first Catholic vice president.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, not an issue today, but 6 years ago it was.
It was,
1928, when New York Governor Al Smith was the Democratic nominee for president. It was the first time a major party nominated a Catholic for president. Now, you have to understand, this is 1928.
Right, it's a long time ago.
And, I mean, you had the Klan and whatever, and there, you know, whatever. And, but he said, I didn't understand what the thing about being religion and president, and there was a famous cartoon that came after the Hoover-Smith election, and Herbert Hoover really didn't use this thing, but Hoover's election wasn't, you know, the country was at that time prosperous.
Right.
I suppose it was a cartoon that came out a few days after Hoover was elected president. And, of course, there were all kinds of things about if Smith was elected, the Pope was going to move into the East Room of the White House, and there was supposed to message that Al Smith sent to Rome. He said, one word, unpack. You know, but yeah, it was religious prejudice, whatever.
Right, right.
And Richard Nixon, I mean, John F. Kennedy faced it.
Mm-hmm.
And
there was a lot of ridicule about him being a Catholic. I was young too.
Yeah, yeah.
When was he elected as president?
John F. Kennedy, 1960 years ago, 1960.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I was young too, years old maybe. Yeah.
So, but and
seven.
Then that ended. You know, but so that issue, that was not an issue.
Wow.
So
it took coronavirus to sink President
probably,
Trump.
Probably, I would say that was probably the biggest thing. And then his whole way of
just him,
himself,
period. Just him.
Yeah.
Just him.
I mean, this was a referendum on him.
Yeah.
And I mean, he never had approval ratings much above 43-44%.
That's true.
And so, I mean, that's just, you know.
And there's nothing different.
And I know his whole thing was, he thought he could pull off what he did 4 years ago, lose the popular vote and still win the Electoral College, which is what actually elects the president. Didn't happen this time. When Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin came back, all the states that Hillary Clinton carried went for Joe Biden. And then that was it. There was no way he was going to win then.
Mm.
Even if he had not carried Georgia, Arizona, those things right there, that was it.
Right.
So that was done. So.
And they should have known that Pennsylvania was going to pull Joe Biden.
Yeah.
He's from there. I mean, this is home.
From, and that was a factor.
Oh, yeah. They was going to pull him over that line, you know.
So.
And be behind him, all their support.
Yeah.
And we're not doing anything different as far as counting ballots or provisional ballots or absentee.
It has been the most open above board and so forth. And some of the stuff, like I say, there's no fraud or anything else. They people
same
been there,
thing, right? Yeah.
They had observers from both parties there, or whatever. And I mean, it was. I guess he didn't like the election result. It would have been like in a football game. If let's say one team was leading at the end of the third quarter, going to the fourth quarter, and they're going to say, "Oh, we're going to stop playing now. We got the lead. We don't want to play in the fourth quarter."
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. And we got 10 minutes left in the game, so we're going to cut the game right now. Right? Take our.
So,
What is it? Count your losses and run, right?
Yeah.
Just low.
So, that's,
wow.
Like I said, locally.
I was disappointed locally, like Tara Dyer and all them.
Republicans control the courthouse, Democrats control the city hall. They're now down to a Democratic county treasurer and county auditor. Again, Franklin County, exactly. I can remember when I ran for the state senate in 92.
Right.
That was 28 years ago. At that time in Franklin County, Columbus, the Republican Party was dominant. They held all 11 county offices. The Democrats won the sheriff's office. That was the only Democratic office holder 20 years ago, 10 out of 11. When Mr. Tyak becomes county prosecutor down there in January, Democrats will hold 10 of the 11 non-judicial offices. Only Republican left will be the Republican county engineer. And he's probably concerned that in 4 years they're going to come after him.
Mm.
And then the judgeships have totally, they're wiping out the Republican judgeships.
Right.
And as they say, 10 are on the ballot now, and Democrats swept all 10 of them.
Wow.
And what happens, they have in the bigger counties, they have what they call a slate card.
Mm-hmm.
It has all the candidates' names, and the friend kind, in that case, our son is from living in Hilliard, and he received one in the mail, Democratic slate card. A lot of people just vote that straight Democratic ticket.
True.
And that's what Mr. O'Brien. Actually, his defeat was telegraphed 4 years ago because there was a Green Party candidate running for prosecutor. He got like about 6% of the vote. And the Democrats, who was at the time, Zach Klein, who's now the city attorney in Columbus, got like 47%, whatever. And Mr. O'Brien got like 49%. The only reason he was reelected was because there was split vote. This time it was just him and the Democrat.
Right.
Gary Tyak. Mr. Tyak got 53%, his 47%.
Wow.
And the other Democrat candidates had about, for the other contested offices, commissioners and commissioners, I think, and treasurer and the office, they got like 65%. So you had about 12% of the people there who split their vote.
Okay.
Democrat, the other officials did vote for Mr. O'Brien. But again, the margin was just too much to overcome.
Wow.
And so he, and I think he was not totally unexpected he was going
to
boot it out. And the thing is, what's particularly concerning for Frank County Republicans is because they've had the prosecutor's office, that's always been kind of the place they could go to get Republican judicial candidates. That's all going to come to an end in January.
Okay.
And as I say, the other thing is the fact you're not going to have a Democratic county prosecutor in the state capitol, mm-hmm. and there you got the Republican state government down there on North High and was in East Broad Street,
right?
And the Democratic County Prosecutor and the grand jury overlooking the Republican headquarters, the Republican state government,
right?
And I think they're probably a little concerned about that because they've had that office has been Republican. It's one of the last Republican strongholds.
Okay.
2 years ago, the Democrats took over the county auditor's office down there. Now they've got the prosecutor, so all they left is a Republican county engineer.
Okay.
And that's it. So they're probably a little concerned what's going to coming down the road there.
Hmm.
And I think in the other counties, Bexar counties, Cuyahoga, Hamilton, Bemidji, I'm sure it's the same thing.
Wow.
So you get this rural, suburban / city divide that's happening.
Wow. And Marion, I didn't think, I thought all the Democrats lost in Marion County. Am I not right about that?
In the county opposite, the only Democrat elected was Jan Draper, was unopposed for election as county treasurer.
Right.
The re-elected contest. And Joan Kosodis is not up again until 2020.
Right.
So they got a Democrat treasurer and auditor.
I reported from Democratic, where they conjured together. Came together election night. I was up there reporting for the radio, but it wasn't a lot of people there. But still, I think Tara was on. Her grandson supposedly had COVID, so she was on quarantine.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I'm thinking, wow. I pray that he's okay too. But and then Potts, was it Rob Potts?
Rob Coons.
He was up there. Yeah. But
now Rob's a good guy. He ran a
strong
campaign.
Strong campaign,
course,
didn't he? Yes.
Again, just whatever. Now, I believe he's in the 5th ward of the city, as is Tara. And that seat, of course, the Republican council member that was in there resigned earlier this year. And a woman by the name of Fitzgerald, I believe, has been named by the Republican committee for a seat. And of course, Tara only lost that race by 6-7 votes.
Right, I remember
a year
that,
ago.
Yeah.
So I'm sure the Democrats are going to have a possibility of taking that seat.
Run again, yeah. Right? Try to run again. And, for, was that fifth? What was that?
Fifth ward seat.
Fifth ward, Fifth ward.
And,
well, I don't think she's going to give up. I hope she's going to try to run another year. And Rob, I don't know. He is a good guy.
Yeah. And it's. What's happening, as I say, in many of these counties, it depends on what you are and whatever. It's probably a Democrat.
Democrat or Republican, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Strongholds in Ohio, absolutely, and Marion County. Wow. And I did not anticipate Sheriff Bailey losing at all.
Yeah.
I didn't even consider that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Like I say, Democrats have had 52 years they've held the sheriff's office.
That's a long time.
Max Ross, Ron Schneider, John Butterworth, and Tim Bailey.
It's a long run.
So this is the first 56 years. Glenn Obenauer was the last Republican sheriff.
Obenauer, yeah.
He was the last Republican sheriff. And he was defeated for election in 68. So,
long run.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we'll see what happens to Mr. Bales as the new sheriff and have you, so.
Well, he won.
So now, 2 years from now, the other commissioner's seat and county auditor's seat is up. I don't know whether people are going to run again or what, so we'll see what happens. But,
so what does it take to get in to be like city council? What does it take to get into that seat?
Well, it depends on what you're running. If you're a ward council member, you have to have so many signatures in your ward to get elected as a ward council member. And then at large, you have to have X number of signatures. 25 signatures to run for ward seat. 50 signatures to run for city at large seat. I was a 4th ward council, then I was at council at large for several terms. So.
Okay.
And of course, you were running citywide at that point. So.
All right. Like you said, it's who you know, right?
Yeah.
And who you are, I guess.
Well, main thing is a help.
It's a help. Yeah. Right. Do you have to pay for it to run?
You have to pay a filing fee.
Filing fee?
$25 filing fee to run for council. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. And, so even if you're not representing a ward, you can still run for a city council?
For an at-large seat. You want to run
at-large.
You want to run for a citywide office, yeah, you can run for city at-large, council at-large. So.
Interesting.
Now, if you're running a ward, then you, of course, have to live in that ward.
And go against the person who is already there.
Well, that or somebody else.
Test, right.
Yeah, so,
right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So.
Yes, I'm just kind of interested about that. You know,
now, see, next year, the city mayor and the city treasurer's position will be up, the council president and the 9 council members. And that's it, because the mayor, auditor, law director are all in midterm. They were elected to, back in 2019. They're 4-year terms.
Right.
So the treasurer, city treasurer is also a 4-year term, but his term is opposite the city auditor's term. So the city treasurer, council president, the 9 council members.
Wow.
It's interesting. All local officials are 4-year terms except the city council president and the 9 city council members. They're the only local officials who are 2-year terms. Township trustees, township fiscal officers, boards of education, the mayor, auditor, treasurer, and law director, the administrative officials of the city are all 4-year terms. The only 2-year term officials are the 9 city council members and the council president.
Right, so. Right. And we started off before we came on the air saying bye to Alex Trebek.
Yeah, and of course, he was a longtime host of
Jeopardy. Yes.
Battling for the last 27 months pancreatic cancer, which is a very aggressive. The problem with it is by the time somebody finds out they have it, it's almost too late.
Right.
He actually probably, I'm sure, had the resources to be able to battle a little longer than most, but a lot of times it may be just a matter of weeks or months. His was 20 days or 20 months.
Wow.
We'll mention to see tonight, they're on at least here locally, on WBNS at 7 p.m., and I'm going to guess it'll be maybe some sort of an announcement, probably taped yesterday or today, by one of the executive producers. Apparently there are enough programs through, I guess, the end of December, because he actually was in the studio about 12 days ago.
Yeah.
And they had, of course, obviously they tape these programs. Mm-hmm. So it's like when they do like a Halloween show or something, it's actually been taped weeks beforehand.
Right.
They have to tell people, pretend this is Halloween or whatever, Christmas, whatever
right,
it has to be.
Right, right.
And apparently they have enough programs through maybe the end of December.
Right.
Now, at that point, and I'm sure once the grieving and the process moves on, and I think Trek probably told me, says, something happens to me, I want this program to continue.
Right.
And one name that has already been suggested, and actually one I thought of right away, is Ken Jennings, who was the big longtime winner several years back. He actually, this year, has been doing some things on the program, whatever, and it would not totally surprise me
if he took his place.
Might be the one that they're going to select. And actually, he lives in Seattle, I believe.
Okay.
But he could come to L.A., a couple times a year. They could tape a couple months worth of programs.
Mm-hmm.
And go back and wouldn't have to live in L.A.
That's true. So, that's true. Yeah. That's true. How much money did he win? I think I remember him
being a big-time
winner.
What was it? How many millions of dollars? I forget what it was.
Pretty smart guy, huh?
Oh, yeah. Very, very intelligent.
Wow. He must do a lot of reading.
Yeah.
And keep up with current events.
Of course, you had this James Holthauser from Las Vegas, mm-hmm, who had an immense amount of money. I don't think he'd be interested. He lives in Las Vegas. There's another one, Brad Rutter, who actually is a bachelor, lives in L.A. Again, I'm not sure whether or not he'd be interested in taking it. But
Wow. As
I say, I'm sure there are going to be a lot of potential people to look at, but I would not surprise me if Mr. Jensen.
He gets the ticket, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, Alex Trebek, you'll be missed.
Yeah, he was. He was
a favorite. Yeah, he was.
And he was well-liked.
Yes, he was. Yeah,
he was. Originally, was originally from Canada. Mm-hmm. He became a U.S. citizen some years ago.
Right.
And, but yeah, it was.
Wow.
Not surprised, but I'm just kind of shocked. So,
wow. Well, we're out of time. We're getting down to the last few seconds. Tim, thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. As always, he is our political historian and a former history teacher, Tim Combs. I really appreciate him coming on my show. He brings me up to date, and I'm sure many of you who are listening, Tim knows things that I don't even think about knowing as far as political is concerned, but he'll be back again, hopefully, the beginning of the year when Biden takes office, and you can give us another rundown of what we should expect or could expect from this new president and vice president. Mm-hmm. They broke history records, didn't they?
Yeah.
Biden got more votes than any other president ever.
And they have not done counting yet, but he's going to be, well, yeah, more votes than any other.
Right, favorite, yes.
Right now, it's up to 75 million, I believe, right now.
So. Right, that's great. That is great. We're sorry for the ones who lost, but life goes on.
Yeah.
See you, Tim.
Okay, take care.
You too. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Till next time, be blessed. Voice of the people.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for all the big events. For Scott Spears and Terry Tackett at the 2016 World Series in Cleveland, Ohio, as the Cleveland Indians face the Chicago Cubs.
Now, how is this all going to end?